Welcome to day 292 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host, and I'm very happy that you've joined me again as we are journeying through the Word of God. This week we are reading from the Amplified Translation, and today's reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, and the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7. We will hear more of the amazing miracles in the life of Jesus. So beginning at Matthew 15, we will begin at the first verse. Then from Jerusalem came scribes and Pharisees and said, "Why do your disciples transgress and violate the rules handed down by the elders of the past? For they do not practice ceremonially washing their hands before they eat." He replied to them, "And why also do you transgress and violate the commandment of God for the sake of the rules handed down to you by your forefathers, the elders? For God commanded, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and he who curses or reviles or speaks evil of or abuses or treats improperly his father or mother, let him surely come to his end by death. But you say, 'If anyone tells his father or mother, what you would have gained from me, that is, the money and whatever I have that might be used for helping you, is already dedicated as a gift to God,' then he is exempt and no longer under obligation to honor and help his father or his mother. So for the sake of your tradition, the rules handed down by your forefathers, you have set aside the word of God, depriving it of force and authority and making it of no effect. You pretenders, hypocrites! Admirably and truly did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, 'These people draw near me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but their hearts hold off and are far away from me. Uselessly do they worship me, for they teach as doctrines the commands of men.'" And Jesus called the people to him and said to them, "Listen and grasp and comprehend this. It is not what goes into the mouth of a man that makes him unclean and defiled, but what comes out of the mouth, this makes a man unclean and defiles him." Then the disciples came and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were displeased and offended and indignant when they heard this saying?" He answered, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be torn up by the roots. Let them alone and disregard them. They are blind guides and teachers. And if a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into a ditch." But Peter said to him, "Explain this proverb, this maxim to us." And he said, "Are you also even yet dull and ignorant, without understanding and unable to put things together? Do you not see and understand that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the abdomen and so passes on into the place where discharges are deposited? But whatever comes out of the mouth comes from the heart, and this is what makes a man unclean and defiles him. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, reasonings, and disputings and designs, such as murder, adultery, sexual vice, theft, false witnessing, slander, and irreverent speech. These are what make a man unclean and defile him, but eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean or defile him." And going away from there, Jesus withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman who was a Canaanite from that district came out, and with a loud, troublesomely urgent cry begged, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David! My daughter is miserably and distressingly and cruelly possessed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and implored him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and kneeling, worshipped him and kept praying, Lord, help me. And he answered, It is not right, proper, becoming, or fair to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. She said, Yes, Lord, even the little pups, little whelps eat the crumbs that fall from their young master's table. Then Jesus answered her, O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you wish. And her daughter was cured from that moment. And Jesus went on from there and passed along the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Then he went up into the hills and kept sitting there. And a great multitude came to him, bringing with them the lame, the maimed, the blind, the dumb, and many others. And they put them down at his feet, and he cured them. So that the crowd was amazed when they saw the dumb speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And they recognized and praised and thanked and glorified the God of Israel. Then Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have pity and sympathy and am deeply moved for the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and they have nothing at all left to eat. And I am not willing to send them away hungry lest they faint or become exhausted on the way. And the disciples said to him, Where are we to get bread sufficient to feed so great a crowd in this isolated and desert place? And Jesus asked them, How many loaves of bread do you have? They replied, 7 and a few small fish. And ordering the crowd to recline on the ground, he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and when he had given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they gathered up 7 large provision baskets full of the broken pieces that were left over. Those who ate were 4,000 men, not including the women and the children. Then he dismissed the crowds, got into the boat, and went to the district of Magadan. Mark chapter 7. Now there were gathered together to Jesus the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem. For they had seen that some of his disciples ate with common hands, that is, unwashed, with hands defiled and unhallowed, because they had not given them a ceremonial washing. For the Pharisees and all of the Jews do not eat unless, merely for ceremonial reasons, they wash their hands diligently up to the elbow, with clenched fist, adhering carefully and faithfully to the tradition of practices and customs handed down to them by their forefathers to be observed. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they purify themselves. And there are many other traditions, oral man-made laws handed down to them, which they observe faithfully and diligently, such as the washing of cups and wooden pitchers and wide-mouthed jugs and utensils of copper and beds. And the Pharisees and scribes kept asking Jesus, Why do your disciples not order their way of living according to the tradition handed down by the forefathers to be observed, but eat with hands unwashed and ceremonially not purified? But he said to them, Excellently and truly, so that there will be no room for blame, did Isaiah prophesy of you, the pretenders and hypocrites? As it stands written, these people constantly honor me with their lips, but their hearts hold off and are far distant from me. In vain, fruitlessly, and without profit do they worship me, ordering and teaching to be obeyed as doctrines the commandments and precepts of men. You disregard and give up and ask to depart from you the commandment of God and cling to the tradition of men, keeping it carefully and faithfully. And he said to them, You have a fine way of rejecting, thus thwarting and nullifying and doing away with the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition, your own human regulations. For Moses said, Honor Revere with tenderness of feeling and deference your father and your mother. And he who curses or reviles or speaks evil of or abuses or treats improperly his father or mother, let him surely die. But as for you, you say, a man is exempt if he tells his father or his mother what you would otherwise have gained from me. Everything I have that would have been of use to you is korban, that is a gift already given as an offering to God. Then you no longer are permitting him to do anything for his father or mother, but are letting him off from helping them. Thus, you are nullifying and making void and of no effect the authority of the word of God through your tradition, which you in turn hand on, and many things of this kind you are doing. And he called the people to him again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand what I say. There is not even one thing outside a man which by going into him can pollute and defile him. But the things which come out of a man are what defile him and make him unhallowed and unclean. If any man has ears to hear, let him be listening, and let him perceive and comprehend by hearing." And when he had left the crowd and had gone into the house, his disciples began asking him about the parable. And he said to them, "Then are you also unintelligent and dull and without understanding? Do you not discern and see that whatever goes into a man from the outside cannot make him unhallowed or unclean, since it does not reach and enter his heart, but only his digestive tract, and so passes on into the place designed to receive waste?" Thus, he was making and declaring all foods ceremonially clean, that is, abolishing the ceremonial distinctions of the Levitical law. And he said, "What comes out of a man is what makes a man unclean and renders him unhallowed. For from within, that is, out of the hearts of men, come base and wicked thoughts, sexual immorality, stealing, murder, adultery, coveting, a greedy desire to have more wealth, dangerous and destructive wickedness, deceit, unrestrained indecent conduct, an evil eye, envy, slander, evil speaking, malicious misrepresentation and abusiveness, pride, the sin of an uplifted heart against God and man, foolishness, folly, lack of sense, recklessness, thoughtlessness. All these evil purposes and desires come from within, and they make the man unclean and render him unhallowed." And Jesus arose and went away from there to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he went into a house and did not want anyone to know that he was there. But it was not possible for him to be hidden from public notice. Instead, at once a woman whose little daughter was under the control of an unclean spirit heard about him and came and flung herself down at his feet. Now the woman was a Greek, Gentile, a Syrophoenician by nationality, and she came begging him to drive the demon out of her little daughter. And he said to her, "First, let the children be fed, for it is not becoming or proper or right to take the children's bread and throw it to the little house dogs." But she answered him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the small pups under the table eat the little children's scraps of food." And he said to her, "Because of this saying, you may go your way. The demon has gone out of your daughter permanently." And she went home and found the child thrown on the couch, and the demon departed. Soon after this, Jesus, coming back from the region of Tyre, passed through Sidon on to the Sea of Galilee, through the region of Decapolis, the 10 cities. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had difficulty in speaking. And they begged Jesus to place his hand upon him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he thrust his fingers into the man's ears and spat and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed as he said, "Ephphatha," which means "be opened." And his ears were opened. His tongue was loosed, and he began to speak distinctly as he should. And Jesus, in his own interest, admonished and ordered them sternly and expressly to tell no one. But the more he commanded them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were overwhelmingly astonished, saying, "He has done everything excellently, commendably and nobly. He even makes the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak." This is the end of today's scripture reading. For today's devotional, I want to focus on the words of Jesus that were spoken to the Pharisees in the beginning of Matthew chapter 15. You may recall that Jesus was speaking to them and actually answering them when they came to him with a question. The scribes and Pharisees said, "Why do your disciples transgress and violate the rules handed down by the elders of the past? For they do not practice ceremonially washing their hands before they eat." Before I read Jesus' response to the Pharisees, let me explain what they were talking about. In the Jewish religion, many man-made laws had been added to the Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments that Moses had given to the people. He had received them, of course, directly from the Lord, but they had added all kinds of things. In fact, they have an entire book called the Talmud, which is multiple volumes consisting over 6,000 pages of commentary from over 1,000 rabbis, and it deals with the law, the Mosaic law, and it gives commentary on the law. It also gives additional clarification and explanation and essentially rules and customs for the Jews to live by, with the idea being that this would help them fulfill the law properly. For example, in the Talmud, you can find rules about the Sabbath. Now, we know that God gave as one of the Ten Commandments honoring the Sabbath, but there are all kinds of Sabbath rules that are written about in the Talmud, including how many steps a person can take in walking without violating the Sabbath of having a day of rest. So, along with that, Jesus points out that they've added so many man-made laws that they're more focused on fulfilling their man-made laws than they are in fulfilling the actual law that was given to them by the Lord through Moses. So this law that he brought up to them was one about washing the hands before eating. And it wasn't just washing your hands in order to avoid becoming sick. We wash our hands for hygienic reasons. This was a law or rule that was given to them about ceremonially washing in such a way that would keep them holy, essentially, keep them from becoming unclean. So if they had gone to the market and been out with people, and then they're going to go and eat, then they had to ceremonially wash in a certain way. There was very specific rules in how to wash the hands up to the elbows, how to not let the water drip so that the dirty water, which carried the uncleanness, wouldn't then defile another part of your body because you let it drip on yourself. It was so specific about the ceremonial style of washing, and it was all about keeping yourself from becoming unholy, not hygienic or keeping sanitation practices up. It was about holiness, non-holiness, or being defiled or being not defiled. So it was a religious rule that had been created by man, not by God. And Jesus answered them when they questioned him about why his disciples did not follow the ceremonial hand washing that before they ate that was handed down by the Jewish elders of the past. In other words, these were man-made laws that had been handed down by Jewish tradition. And they were very offended that Jesus' disciples did not follow the traditions of the elders. And Jesus takes this opportunity to point out to them that following the traditions of men does not get a person close to God. In fact, it offends God. It doesn't draw them close to the Lord. It doesn't increase their relationship with God. It's just an outward action that has no meaning as far as God's concerned. So his answer to them talked about the fact that they themselves, though they were very strict about their man-made rules, were constantly violating God's commandments for the sake of the rules that they had made up. In other words, they were more interested in their own traditions than they were in the very Word of God. And he used as an example a very important commandment that is as important today as it was at the time when Moses handed it down to the people. Jesus said to them, God commanded, honor your father and your mother. And he who curses or reviles or speaks evil of or abuses or treats improperly his father or mother, let him surely come to his end by death. So Jesus is pointing out this important commandment about honoring parents. And in the Mosaic Law, it went on to say if a person even cursed their parents, they could be stoned to death because of so seriously violating this important commandment that was given by the Lord. But then Jesus goes on to point out, but you say, if anyone tells his father or mother what you would have gained from me, that is the money and whatever I have that might be used for helping you, is already dedicated as a gift to God, then he's exempt and no longer under obligation to honor and help his father or mother. So the Pharisees were telling people, if you have money that you would have used to help your parents in their old age, but you want to give it as a gift to God in the temple, then you can do that and you're free from that law, which was God's law, not man's law. You're free from God's law by doing our rule of honoring your parents. Now, of course, this was completely wickedness. Their motives were very impure, not godly, not inspired by God or the Holy Spirit. That was the traditions of men. It was rules that they made up. He says to them, Jesus speaking in verse 6 in Matthew 15, so, for the sake of your tradition, the rules handed down by your forefathers, you have set aside the word of God, depriving it of force and authority and making it of no effect. You pretenders, hypocrites. And then he quotes Isaiah and says, you truly did Isaiah prophesy about you when he said, these people draw near to me with their mouths, honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Uselessly do they worship me, for they teach as doctrines the commands of men. So Jesus confronts the Pharisees with their complete hypocrisy. They were so proud of themselves for being the most religious of all people, and yet Jesus points out that they don't even honor God's word, and yet they call themselves the most religious of all. They have made up their own rules and they honor their own traditions more than they even pay attention to what God has said in his word. Tradition is a dangerous thing in the sense that if it replaces what is true and from the Lord, it takes people away from God. It doesn't draw them near to God. One author put it this way, tradition is the living faith of those now dead, and traditionalism is the dead faith of those still living. There's a lot of people in a lot of churches across the world who follow in the footsteps of those who have gone before them, and they practice what is essentially traditionalism. It's not a real and living faith for them. It's just practicing what their parents and grandparents and great-grandparents did before them. It is the dead faith of those still living, and it's the living faith of those who are dead. They are just going through the motions of what people who died long ago did, but to those people it was real, but to the people in the current generation, it's meaningless. It's just motions that they walk through. They go to church, they stand up, they sit down, they kneel down, they say certain words. They're just repeating a tradition that may at one time have been something real and living in faith for people long ago, but it has no life in it for them because they're just repeating outward actions. Relationship with God is far different from religion. There was a famous theologian from the 19th century, a Danish person by the name of Søren Kierkegaard, and he gave probably one of the best definitions of religion that's still circulating in theological circles, but he identified two kinds of religion. He called them religion A and religion B. And religion A, he identified as faith in name only, the practice of attending church without genuine faith in the living Lord. That was religion A. It was faith in name only. It was practicing a tradition. They attend church because their parents attended church and their grandparents attended church. So a practice of a tradition of going to church, but without having any personal, genuine faith in a living God. But religion B, he identified as a life-transforming, destiny-changing experience. It was a commitment and a relationship with a crucified and risen Savior, which established an ongoing personal relationship between a forgiven sinner and a gracious God. Religion A was empty, meaningless, lifeless, just a practice, go in, come out, go on with your week, and there is no connection between the person practicing religion A and God himself. But the person in religion B, according to Kierkegaard, actually had a life-changing experience when they met God, and they had an ongoing personal relationship between themselves and a God that they had found to be a God of grace and mercy and love. And that is the challenge for every person who considers themselves to be a believer in Christ Jesus, that we don't go from being a religion B person, a person who had a genuine experience with God, made a life-transforming commitment to the Lord, and then slowly allows that relationship to deteriorate until they are simply practicing religion A, just attending church without a genuine faith, going through the motions without a daily personal experience with God, daily communion and communication with God. That's something all of us who are believers must guard against, because the devil himself, the enemy, would like your relationship with God to deteriorate into religion, into a form of religion without any power. So be on guard against allowing your life-giving relationship with God from becoming cold and lifeless and gradually declining to a point of just being motions that you're going through without relationship, being alive with Christ himself. So I want to encourage you this week to Guard that relationship with the Lord. Stir it up if it's begun to grow cold. Draw near to the Lord in prayer. Cry out to Him day and night. Be one that's listening for His voice. Continue to pursue His word so that you and I don't end up like those Pharisees who are guarding our traditions but have no connection with God Himself. God bless you and give you a victorious week.